Jedi Master Yoda. And that's where our story begins.
I was invited to speak this afternoon about seminary. But I don't really know much about seminary in any kind of all-encompassing way. What I know about, what I'm here to talk about, is this place, Star King School for the Ministry, and how it prepares us for progressive religious leadership. I'm here to talk about this maddening, frustrating, confusing place that is Star King. And I'm here to talk about how we are changed and transformed in our time here. After 3 years of struggling to make sense of this institution and its role in my formation, when the invitation to preach arrived, it came to me in a flash that Star King School for the Ministry is like the Dagobah system of the Star Wars movies. The place Luke Skywalker goes to receive training to become a Jedi Knight. It is a place that challenges, confounds, disappoints, amazes, and transforms. For those of you familiar with this story, do you remember Luke's arrival on Dagobah? The navigation systems of his aircraft don't work at all as he nears the planet, and scans register no cities, no technology, but massive life forms. The planet is foggy and thick with trees, swamp-like. Dangling vines brush his face, and the ground beneath his feet is mud, sucking at him as he walks. This, the home of the Jedi Master. It is so not what he expected that he comments, "What are we doing here? It's like something out of a dream. Maybe I'm going crazy." I had imagined that time at seminary would be like time spent at a sacred retreat, like a monastery, how I envisioned a monastery, I've never been to one, with most of our days spent in quiet contemplation, with most of us attending here some kind of cream of the religious crop, devout, inspirational, peaceful. Now, I never saw myself as cream of the religious crop, devout, inspirational, or peaceful, but I saw my acceptance to Star King as a sign that I could be these things, or that I could fool people into thinking I could be these things. Acceptance into Star King seemed to me to be an affirmation that I was worthy of spending 3 years in this sacred, quiet, contemplative sanctuary. It was during orientation week that I noticed my fellow classmates didn't seem to be, in my humble opinion, devout, inspirational, or peaceful. And it occurred to me cruelly that I might not be either. Certainly, we were trying to be these things, but the result felt more like play acting than authenticity. Moreover, things here seemed to be, forgive me, a little less organized than I might have imagined. A little less sacred and a little more profane. There seemed to be a certain amount of preoccupation with the status of the kitchen, the dishes and the dishwasher, and there was a lot of conversation about pins and the proper way to format our emails. I felt more disoriented than oriented.
What are we doing here? It's like something out of a dream. Maybe I'm going crazy. No sooner does Luke arrive on Dagobah than a strange little sort of a man arrives and begins poking around Luke's things. Dismissive and condescending, Luke refers to him as a little fellow and tries to shoo him away. He is Yoda, of course, nobody's idea of a Jedi master. I consider this Luke's first meeting with his faculty advisor. And like many of our advisors and faculty here, Yoda is soon peppering Luke with confusing advice. You must unlearn what you have learned. You're not afraid, you will be. Try not. Do or do not. There is no try. Actually, you know what? There is try. Thanks, though. Good advice. Thanks. Luke is soon running through the swampy, foggy forest with Yoda strapped to his back, wondering, I'm sure, what this has to do with becoming a Jedi. Much in the same way, I'm sure, some of us wonder how often our future congregants will want to know what's in the bylaws of the Unitarian Universalist Association, or who was really the first woman to be ordained in the United States. Finally, Luke encounters his first significant formational experience in a cave that Yoda tells him he must enter. Each of us here who are students will have our own experience that resonates, our own challenges to be met. But I want to suggest that for many of us here, any field experience could be equated to this time in the cave. It might be chaplaincy, it might be work with a local organization, it might be work with a congregation. Whatever it is that takes us outside whatever comfort zone we had cobbled together for ourselves here on Dagobah. About to enter the cave, Luke asks, what's in there? Hoping for some guidance, a little heads up. Yoda, always helpful, tells him, only what you take with you. Great, thanks, good to know. Luke's subsequent experience in the cave is confusing and disorienting. He doesn't know what it means. Helpfully, Yoda later tells him to remember his failure in the cave. I have to stop and share that my chaplaincy was not a cave experience, but applying for parish internships was. I applied at and was rejected by 4 local congregations before talking and pushing my way into the internship I currently have with a congregation that had no plans to have an intern this year. My failure to obtain an internship through conventional methods was my most difficult time here at Star King. Never on this journey had I felt less like the cream of the religious crop. Not devout, not inspirational, not peaceful. I felt that my unworthiness must be obvious and that I was worthy only of rejection. What are we doing here? It's like something out of a dream. Maybe I'm going crazy. Luke's time in the cave is followed by another failure. His aircraft sinks into the swamp, and using the powers of the Force he is trained to use, he is unable to raise his ship back out, observing that the ship is too big. Yoda, small little fellow that he is, steps in and uses the Force to raise the ship himself.
Astonished, Luke proclaims, "I don't believe it." And Yoda replies in his full pastoral presence, "That is why you fail."
Nice.
It is part of our time here, I think, to have to witness other people doing what we ourselves cannot do or believe we cannot. Every time I hear someone give a beautiful prayer off the top of their head, every time I hear someone share some kind of beautiful allegorical story, every time I hear a passionate articulation of the beauty and power and mystery of the divine, I could just spit. Why must we be confronted day in and day out with all that we will never be? What are we doing here? It's like something from a dream. Maybe I'm going crazy. After this series of failures, Luke leaves Dagobah for a time. He thinks he's going to rescue his friends, but he doesn't. They end up having to rescue him. But then he rescues them, remember? And Han was all frozen in that carbonite, and they had to break into Jabba the Hutt's place. And what's really exciting for Luke during these adventures is that people think he's a Jedi, because he seems to have the skills, and he can do the Jedi mind trick and use the lightsaber. Now, I have to tell you, it's like being an internship. People tell me all the time I'm a minister already, that I'm going to be great, my church will be lucky. I've officiated weddings and memorial services, I preach. But as nice as it is to hear these compliments and to be able to do the work of a minister, it won't be real until I see the Ministerial Fellowship Committee and am ordained by a congregation. And despite all the compliments and good thoughts, I still have no certainty that I'll be a minister. Luke must have felt this same way about everybody calling him a Jedi, because the first chance he gets, he goes back to Dagobah to complete his training with Yoda. And Yoda tells him, "No more training do you require. Already know that which you need." And Luke is stunned. Aware of the threshold he is about to cross, he faces his future with the words, "Then I am a Jedi." And Yoda tells him, "Not yet." Not yet, son of a... Getting a Master of Divinity degree has not made me a minister. It turns out there's only so much training one can undergo, and that training is both invaluable and insufficient. To be a Jedi, Luke must confront his creepy, evil father. To be religious leaders, we must confront our own demons, whatever they may be. The training we get here, invaluable and insufficient. Our times of doubt and confusion, our failures, are undoubtedly our most formational experiences. And that's the frustration of this place. What is so galling is that the blunt, confusing, or even painful advice we have received from our Star King Jedi Masters is actually useful. Actually, right on. We did have to unlearn what we had learned. We have experienced that trying isn't trying, it's doing. We have seen that all we encounter over and over again is what is inside of us, and it is ourselves that we are confronting. and this place so not what we might have imagined, with vines in our face and mud sucking at our feet, is nevertheless the home of the Jedi Master, and it is our home too. Now, as I'm sure you know, the weapon of the Jedi Knight is her lightsaber. An elegant weapon of light for the guardians of peace and justice. I'm going to invite each of us to take one, if a couple people can come help pass them out. Share some kind of beautiful allegorical story. But I have learned to let my own light shine, to treasure my own gifts, my own ministry. I'm plain speaking. I think I'm funny. I'm willing to share my pain when I think it will help lessen the pain of others. Maybe when you hear this sermon, you could just spit, because there's something I'm doing now you think you can't do. But it doesn't matter. We are guardians of peace and justice, and each of us here has our own weapon, our own lights, our own gifts. Star King is not a place that makes us into something we're not. Devout, inspirational, peaceful. Star King is the place that calls us back unrelentingly to who we are, lays us bare, and demands of us that we use our gifts to bless the world in the spirit of love. What are we doing here? It's like something out of a dream. Maybe we're crazy. I invite you to rise in body or spirit and join me in singing this little light of mine.